I think I'm more upset with the coaches than I am with the players, and I don't normally say that. That's a lot of nonsense. That game plan sucked. Yay,
yay. Buccaneers fans, is the sky falling? The sage himself, Ira Kaufman, is going to answer that question. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. And it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. They're undefeated at Bill Curry Ford. No losses to the Taylor Heineke's of Buicks or something. GM Sean Sullivan is fired up to help you personally. That's no joke. You get to BillCurryFord.com. You can find his email address there. You can shoot him any question you have, or you just come to the dealership 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the right side there. Beautiful showroom. He'll help you. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount. Nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And Ira watches every Bucks road game at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. The Sage was actually tasked with signing autographs yesterday with the nice crowd there. That was unique and different, Ira. You'll have to explain yourself on that a little bit later. And we love Florida's Elite Restoration. That's the first phone call, the first place to go, floridaselite restoration.com. When you have any disaster in your home, get a free assessment, someone you trust to guide you through what's next, mold, fire, whatever it is, floridaselite restoration.com. All right, Ira, I am clearing the floor. We are 6-3. Buccaneers atop the NFC South. We watched this debacle yesterday where they were sort of really just flat out got beat, Ira. Not a lot of fluke stuff going on other than Jalen Darden forgetting how to squeeze a football. What happened? What do we need to know? Where do you stand with these Bucks, Ira? The state of the Buccaneers, go.
The sky is not falling, gentlemen, but it's drooping a little. It's drooping. And I think I'm more upset with the coaches than I am with the players, and I don't normally say that. These game plans yesterday were awful. And I'm going to start with Byron Leftwich, and we'll assume that he is responsible for the offensive philosophy of the Bucks going into a game. And I know he shares that with Tom Brady, but I'm very much on the record. You got to throw 4 or 5 deep balls. I don't care if they're playing too deep safety, Lee. I'm with the Al Davis philosophy. We take what we want. Chris Godwin was out there. Mike Evans was out there. I'll take my chances with Mike Evans on a deep ball. I'm going to get a flag or two. I'm going to get one catch. They didn't do it, Lee. By the time they got to Mike Evans with the 40-yarder, they had shot themselves in the foot too many times. On defense, Lee, Arian said it today. We should be talking about Devin White as the player of the week, defensive player of the week, without question. Without question. But no, he's not going to get that because they gave up 29 points and people are going to say, I'm going to give that award to Devin White in the loss. The guy was everywhere. He was fabulous. And that makes it even worse, Lee, on the other 10 guys. JPP, you didn't need to be out there. That is on board. Yeah, he wants to play. You tell him to sit. Try to get him ready for the Giants game, a game that he really wants to play in. He's not effective. Give him time to rest. See what happens. This soft coverage is driving people crazy. 11 conversions on third down. Unheard of, Lee. Unheard of. Heineke looks like a bum unless he plays the Bucks. We know your thoughts on Trevor Siemian against the Bucks. Two guys look like Brett Favre against the Bucks. And Lee, I'll set you up with this one. And you guys wrote it. A nice note on this on Joe Bucks Fan. Anytime a coach mentions the E word as in effort, he didn't say sloppy. He didn't say penalties. He said effort. And Lee, after the game on the Buck radio show with TJ Reeves, he said the Bucks played with energy and passion for 8 out of 60 minutes, Lee. Eight. That is disgraceful, and it's unacceptable, and I think coaches got to take their fair share of the blame for that. This team isn't playing with effort. What's going on here?
I'm not with you on this is all on the coaches. If a guy can't get motivated, then what the hell's going on? To me, most of it was player, not coaches. It sounded like, from what Arians was saying, they didn't want to play check down Charlie. It was Brady who was checking down. He wasn't doing it under orders. That's the impression I get. And Arians today specifically said, Brady got bounced around early on, and ever since he got bounced around early in the game, he was, well, Arians didn't say it, but I'll say it. They got in his head. The Redskins got in his head. So I don't know that was the game plan. That was the option Brady continued to take. I also have to wonder what Dave Moore was wondering. Did Brady get hurt? I listened to the second half of the radio broadcast, and time after time, Dave Moore was saying, Mike Evans is open. I don't know why they're not throwing deep. Mike Evans is open. Cam Brate's open down the left sideline. I don't know why they're checking down to Fournette. And he said that over and over and over. And Moore, of course, didn't want to sound stupid and criticize Brady. So he was saying, I don't know if they're disguising their coverages, that they're fooling Brady. Which, how can you fool Brady? He's seen everything, number one. Number two, he said, maybe Brady's hurt and he can't throw long. As far as the defense playing soft, Arians said it all today. Yeah, they're playing zone. Look what they have to work with. And I said on the last podcast, Ira, and I'm waiting for someone to kill me for saying this. I had mentioned what Todd Bowles told me when I asked him directly to his face, is the reason why Devin White's numbers are down because he's being used to help compensate for all the stiffs. I didn't say stiffs. All the crumbs in the corners that are playing because of injuries. I didn't phrase it like that. And Bowles said, yeah, that's we're asking him to do different things, and we're happy with what he's doing, even though his numbers are down. And people were screaming, he's got to get his numbers up. He's got to get his numbers up. Well, last two games, his numbers are up. And guess what? The defense has been horrible. I'm not a big believer in coincidences. Now, on face value, that sounds insane. But maybe Devin White was doing some things to help compensate for those rotten corners they have to play because of the injuries, and the Bucs are getting away with it. Maybe. All of a sudden, the defense collapses when White's numbers go up, and previously, the defensive coordinator said on record they were using him to help compensate for the lack of talent at the cornerback position because of the injuries. Coincidence? I don't believe in coincidence. There's something going on there. But there's something bigger going on, Ira. How is it that you got a team full of veterans, many guys who have played in multiple Super Bowls, yet they showed up to the game like they had the win in the bag already? Why was that? Why does the coach have to motivate these guys? Something's going on behind the scenes. Steve kind of touched upon this yesterday. Are the players tuning out Brady? I don't know. Are they tuning out Arians? I don't know. But right now, as we speak, these past two games, the way the Bucs are playing these two games, they're not a playoff team. They may make the playoffs, but they're not a playoff team the way they're playing now.
With all that being said, Steve, 3 weeks ago they kicked the hell out of the Chicago Bears. They were 6-1, and nobody was talking about tuning out. Isbits, let's be very specific on this podcast, Steve.
Oh, I got plenty to be specific about. Go ahead, Ira.
Hold on. I'm going to talk about this. Things changed after Brady got hit on the third freaking snap of the afternoon. What the hell game are we watching here, gentlemen? Is that game where it looked like Brady was under constant duress? That's a lot of nonsense. The post-game sheet said he had one hit against him. One. He was not sacked. I don't think it has anything to do with the amount of pressure that this Washington, especially without Chase Young, put on him. All right, Ali Marpet beat. One play. You're going to overreact and say we can't throw a deep ball to Mike Evans? That game plan sucked. Brady didn't play well. How about a deep ball? Let me see what happens.
I don't disagree with you, but I have to ask you a question. Do we know that was the game plan? Do we know it was the game plan to check down, check down, check down, and make Leonard Fournette the greatest target in the receiving game? I don't know that. And what Arians has been saying sure doesn't sound like that. I think you're making a leap there, and I don't know if if there's an obstacle to leap over.
But, Lee, if it wasn't the game plan when it became obvious what the hell Brady was doing out there, you take a little stroll over to Brady when the Buck defense is on the field, and you straighten them out. And you say, we got Mike Evans. How about using him?
You're onto something there, but could it be that, you know, Brady being Brady, they may be hesitant to do such a thing?
Steve, I think the implication by Lee, and I'm not sure he's wrong. I hope he's wrong. Yeah. The implication is Brady got gun-shy after taking one hit. Is that the case, Steve?
Well, there's a couple of things to consider. Now, I believe that the game sheet, the game book is wrong. He did take two hard hits, but still, two hits is not nine hits. So I understand what you're saying, but it's possible that that early shot he took by Jonathan Allen, maybe it injured him. Maybe. We just don't know. And I think one of the biggest red flags, nobody asked Bruce Arians about this on Monday. I don't really care the answer because I don't really think I'm going to get an honest answer. So there's that. But that aside, Buccaneers are on the Washington 47-yard line to end the half. One more play to go. It is a classic opportunity to throw the Hail Mary. 47 yards, you know, you get Brady back rolling out right to the 52. He can throw the ball 55 yards, 50 yards, no problem, get it to the end zone. They didn't do it. So why would you not throw a Hail Mary there when that's the play? And they throw underneath to Mike Evans. Yes, they got lucky. He ran the crossing route. He was looking to flip the ball to somebody. He didn't. And then he got the face mask penalty and they got the field goal. But you don't go into that play saying, let me throw underneath to Mike Evans and hope he gets a defensive penalty. You throw the Hail Mary. But why? Why did they not throw it? That's a mystery. And to me, it speaks to really why Brady might have been injured. Because I don't understand why you don't do that, even if you have to bring in Blaine Gabbert, you know, or who, you know, whoever can fling the ball. So that's that. But I don't know, Ira.
Your point, Steve, real quick to your point. I think Ira was there as well. I was a witness when the Bucs were playing the Stinking Panthers 4 years ago, was it? That very same play, sort of play, a same circumstance. It was end of the first half. It was Hail Mary time. Apparently Cam Newton was injured. Ron Rivera pulled him off the field, brought in a backup quarterback to throw a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
You remember that, Ira?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, to address the Devin White thing, I don't think there's any mystery. I don't believe Todd Bowles. I'll put that out there. But Devin White's numbers are up the last two games. I'll give you the very straight and easy answer. Why? Washington ran the ball 34 times. The Saints ran the ball more than 30 times. Devin White himself has said, well, early in the year, he was talking about, well, teams haven't been running the ball, and that's my strong suit. That's where I make my plays. So that wasn't happening before the last 2 weeks. I don't think it has anything to do with anything else other than now teams are running the ball against the Bucs. I have to give Washington a lot of credit for sticking with the run when it really wasn't working very well. But they were getting, you know, 2.9 here, they, you know, 2 yards here, 2 yards there. Occasionally they got a first down for six or something, but they stuck with it for a long time. And I think that's where Devin White's numbers came. Now, early in the year, he was not converting on some of these blitzes. He got home yesterday. That's not Bowles' fault. That's not scheme. That's just he made the plays that were in front of him. And he's still getting the tackles. The tackle numbers all year have been there. You know, it's not Todd Bowles' fault or anybody's fault that Devin White didn't punch a fumble out. That has nothing to do with, you know, covering from somebody else. I think he just wasn't making the plays. Yesterday we saw it. But I think it comes back to the run game, the run game, the run game. Teams were running nine times against the Bucs. Now they're running 30-plus 2 weeks in a row. So I think that's a big part of it. Ira, I got to come at you with the JPP thing because I think it's important. We don't have any evidence or any knowledge that resting JPP is going to make his torn rotator cuff any better. This might just be what it is. He just had 2 weeks off. And he's invisible on the field, doesn't look strong, doesn't look like he's playing with the same level of ferocity. And we don't know that just because he takes 3 weeks off, that shoulder is going to feel better. If it's torn and needs surgery after the season, That might be it right there.
Steve, you just said it yourself. This might be what it is, and what it is isn't, it's not good enough. He's not effective. I'm not blaming him. He's trying to play hurt. But Lee, can't they get more out of Tryon or Nelson rather than an injured JPP? He's not effective. And the more he plays, he's not suddenly going to be effective. And I'm with Steve. There's no guarantee that rest is going to help him. But he's just not an effective player right now. And I think they can do better. Lee, one more thing about what Steve said about Devin White. Fair point. You know, the last 2 weeks, teams are running when nobody would run the ball against the Bucks. They wouldn't even try. But Lee, what I noticed about Devin White yesterday was he was all over Heinicke. Even the times he didn't get to him, he made him make throws going backwards, which again puts the onus on the other Buck defenders to play better around Devin White. Devin White was a force all day long. Even besides the two sacks, he put tremendous pressure on Heinicke. He was a tremendously effective blitzer. And shame on the Bucks. The guy threw 32 balls, Lee, and six of them hit the ground. That's disgusting.
That's what happens when two of your three starting corners are down. I like to say how the Bucks, and I'm not the only person to say this, the Bucks broke the Chiefs. I'm starting to think Sean Payton broke the Bucks. He figured out a way to expose those. If I see what I want to see, I guarantee I'm going to get a phone call tomorrow. So I gotta soften this up. Sean Payton figured out a way to expose the lesser cornerbacks, let's put it that way, of the Bucks. And Riverboat Ron, he's no dummy. It's a copycat league. They just did the same thing that Sean Payton did. That's my guess. Sean Payton broke the Bucks. The Bucks, you know, Bowles and company, they squeezed blood out of a turnip only so much, and they ran out of time. And now the debt is being paid, so to speak.
Sage, what do you make of this? Because I think it's important to note, and I sort of put some of it on Todd Bowles in this frame. The Bucs were blitzing a lot early. They weren't blitzing a ton on third and fourth down, a couple of their fourth down opportunities. And what was Washington's? There was really no deep threat. They completed only two of those passes were over 20 yards. One was for 21. One was for 22. They weren't chucking the ball downfield left and right, burning the Bucs and, you know, getting personal pass interference calls or anything like that. It was all short underneath stuff. And I don't understand how you can't trust corners to play man, you know, in medium situations. You know, I mean, in, you know, 13, 14 yards down the field, and they just kept dicing them up. And I have to give at least some of the credit, Ira. I know the fans don't want to hear it. You know, I'm a fan as well, but I watching the game again, I mean, Heinicke played great. There were a lot of excellent plays made. That critical third down catch by Adam Humphries late in the game, that was just unreal of a catch. They didn't dwell on it too much, but just a sick catch.
Right.
A couple of balls didn't bounce their way. You know, Whitehead gets his fingers on a ball and he deflects it right to another guy. Key third down late in the game. Ricky Seals-Jones catches a ball. He's right in front of Devin White. White misses the tackle, first down. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do, but yeah, these corners are not very good. Bowles doesn't trust him. The fans don't trust him. They don't seem to trust themselves. And there's no fix coming. Richard Sherman, we learn, is done for a long time now. Arians is like, I don't know when he'll be back. He pulls a calf muscle before warm-ups. Yeah. Sean Murphy Bunting, we get the encouraging news that, oh, he's starting to use his arm. I mean, I don't know. That didn't really sit well with me. And Carlton Davis, we don't know. You know, Carlton Davis isn't even in the practice window yet. They're going to have to ride this thing out, Ira.
One, I thought all game long, the Washington secondary contested passes, a lot better than their counterparts on the Tampa Bay defense.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the Washington completions, Heinicke made some tough throws, but a lot of them, the defender was just 3 yards back of the receiver. It was too much room. My second point, I think Washington was more physical. That bothers me. If I had to boil it down to one play, maybe it would be that Antonio Gibson one-yard touchdown, which maybe they should change the rule on that. He was stopped. Forward progress. But, Lee, what happened after the forward progress? Washington pushed the Bucs around.
Yep.
And got 6 points. Now, they probably would have scored anyway. Would have been second down from the one. But you get my point. And three, Lee, and I wrote this down yesterday before I started that column because I could have easily forgotten it. And you might think I'm making too much of it, Lee. Suck up. You got to make that extra point. And for me, it was more than just the 1 point, which was a big one because it would have been three instead of four. But, Lee, that's deflating. It is deflating. And you can say, these are big boys and they get paid a lot of money. That is a dejected moment right there because you assume you're going to make it. And you know what, suck up? You got to make it.
I agree that's a deflecting moment. I can't kill suck up for this reason. And maybe I have lousy standards. Maybe I've got beaten child syndrome. But I just remember the complete and total trash the Bucks have had for kickers for about a decade pre-suck up. So I can't go after suck up for that very reason.
You think Washington wanted that game more than the Bucks, Lee?
Well, here's all you got to say. Bucks needed to get the ball back for a chance to win. Taylor Heinicke, not Tom Brady, not Aaron Rodgers, not Pat Mahomes, not Josh Allen, an AAF recycled quarterback goes on a 19-play drive to put the game away. 19-play drive. That's a Bucs team I thought we were done seeing for a while. That was vintage 2018 Mike Smith defense right there. That was Tyrod Taylor marching the Bills down the field to take a lead in the fourth quarter. That was despicable. If Mike Smith was on the sidelines, I wouldn't have known any better.
Steve, they converted four third downs and a fourth down on the same drive.
Hey, it was a hell of a drive, but the Bucs, look, the pass rush wasn't what they needed it to be. You know, Shaq Barrett watching that game again. I'll be honest, I don't know who plays left tackle for Washington, but he manhandled Shaq Barrett all day long, and it was bad. It was bad. But still, you go back to the offense, Ira, there seemed to be no rhythm to what they were doing, and Tom Brady seemed a little bit gun-shy. Now, Anthony Becht, former Bucs tight end, used to work for the Buccaneers, now does a Jets pregame and college broadcasts, still lives in Tampa, lives up in Pasco with you, Ira. Anthony Becht was on local radio, and he said, you know, Brady seems so gun-shy to throw deep, so tentative, I had to go back and look at the film. He went and said, I watched the whole thing with an eye on opportunities, and he said, not just when a guy was open, but when the down and distance made sense and et cetera, et cetera. Watching it with a professional eye, he said he counted six times when Mike Evans was open on a situation where it was appropriate to throw to him, and Brady didn't go to him. He took the check down. And
that's exactly what Dave Moore was saying.
And so when I watched the game, Ira, there was one clear play. The film's not up yet, but there's one clear play where Mike Evans wide open in the end zone and Brady hustles one underneath to the left corner to Giovanni Bernard. It was barely catchable, but you know, he probably could have caught it at the 3-yard line. Evans wide open in the end zone. It just wasn't Brady's day. So I'll ask you this, Ira. Do we have nothing to worry about? Tom Brady, you know, yes, he's human. Yes, like Michael Jordan or anybody else, he has bad games. Like Aaron Rodgers, the MVP, drops clunkers in big fashion every season, yet he's an amazing quarterback. Do we have nothing to worry about that Brady's just going to bounce back? And should we look at it and say, hey, you know what? Brady's last Super Bowl with New England, they were 11-5, playing in the garbage AFC East. Teams lose games. Quarterbacks have bad days. This is no big deal. Brady's fine. It's all good.
I tend to think that we don't have a lot to worry about. I'm not going to call this a trend. Against the Saints, he threw for 375 yards and four touchdowns. I mean, They scored points, and, you know, as you pointed out repeatedly, and properly so, the defense against the Saints was awful, against Trevor Siemian. That's all you harped on was Trevor Siemian. You're right. You didn't say Greg had a bad day, although he threw a couple of picks. He had a bad day yesterday. Now, this injury angle is interesting because it begs the question, hey, if I got a quarterback who can't throw the ball more than 15 yards, I got to put Blaine Gabbert in. I'm sorry.
That's a fair comment.
So, Lee, I keep getting back to the same point. And this is the one that really drove Buck fans up a wall yesterday. Lee, he had time, 75% of the throws, to go through his progressions. And he seemed in a tremendous hurry to get rid of the football when he wasn't under duress. That, I don't know, that's not the Brady I know.
No, the only thing I can think of, which is supposedly his kryptonite, you know, we've heard it before, if you get Brady rattled early, you got a chance. Maybe that played out yesterday. I'm not sure, but the injury angle is interesting because, you know, you have ex-NFL offensive players who watched the game with, you know, whether it be game film or high above, and they were saying the same thing. You know, Steve just talked about Anthony Becton. Like I said, I was listening to the second half broadcast of the Bucs Radio Network, and Dave Moore was saying the exact same thing.
Steve, can you imagine what one Ronald Jones is thinking about now, Steve?
Well, I know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that when I have a problem in my house, I'm calling Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, immediately. I'm not messing around. 24/7, you can call them. They'll respond very quickly, get you that free assessment. They'll come out and check out your flood and see how they can, you know, get things right immediately and work with your insurance company if necessary so you don't get ripped off. If you got mold, they're licensed mold remediation specialists. They're not just a mold guy. So Sage, property managers, plumbers, air conditioning contractors, they reach out to Josh Martin and they say, hey, how can we work with you to best service our customers? Because we encounter this stuff. And he works with them and he's honest. And it's a great situation for real service given to people all across the Tampa Bay area and businesses. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira, have you been texting with Josh? Have you been trying to console him for these Bucks losses?
Well, I'm going to Publix later today. Maybe I run into him. Steve, I'll give you an example.
Was he working at Publix or something?
No, but we frequent the same one. But
okay.
Steve, we were gone for a week, and we come in, and I open the front door. It's about 11 o'clock at night. And the first thing I'm checking is for water. I want to see, is there a leak? I go in the bedrooms. I go in the bathroom. I go in the garage. Did I spring a leak while I was gone? That is your number one concern. And it could lead to a lot of problems, especially here in the state of Florida. High humidity, mildew, mold. Florida's Elite Restoration. They will give you peace of mind. Most of the time, it's not a major deal. But you need to know that from honest brokers. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Ira, this is a con job. Everybody listening, including Lee, knows that when you got home, your first concern was, did I eat all my Halloween candy? I don't remember.
I checked for water, and then I hit the ice cream, Stevie. You know, it's a 1-2 punch.
There you go. All right, Lee, Ira, you know, Bucks fans are falling apart, and one way to soothe yourself is to go to BillCurryFord.com and start shopping. Transparent pricing. And you know, you have the comfort that you got GM Sean Sullivan there to reach out to if you just have questions. Hey, my lease is up in January 12th. What do I do? I want this. I want that. Can I order a Bronco? Just reach out. And he's your friend in the car business, BillCurryFord.com, Sean Sullivan. Ira, so, you know, a couple other things out of yesterday's game. And, of course, the Saints lost. And the Bucs really didn't lose any kind of big ground. Probably the most interesting thing of the day was Arizona falling apart and the Panthers just mopping them up with their backup battles of two backup quarterbacks. Yeah, Cam Newton played a few plays, but this was backup versus backup. So Carolina's kind of back 5-5 and angry with some talent on their defense. But Sage, I think one of the more interesting questions to ask is, what's the fix to the defense? Now, I know Lee said, hey, maybe there is no fix because we're playing with cornerbacks, backups of backups. But is there any kind of fix at this point that you would like to see from Todd Bowles, or would you would like to see from the defensive line? Or would you like to just say, hey, right now as we speak, the Bucs have the 8th-ranked defense when it comes to yards. They're 16th in when it comes to points. And that, hey, maybe we just need to, play a little different game and let the offense get back to scoring 30 and win 30-27 like we did on opening day when we got exposed by Dallas with our good players out there. I don't know. What's the fix on offense? What's the Sage say, this is what I want to see? Because you were smacking around Leftwich a little bit and Arians before the podcast started.
Well, I'll say this about on defense, Lee. Maybe I'm crazy, but all right, now you're going to play the Giants. Again, you're not playing Josh Allen. You're not playing Justin Herbert. You just faced Trevor Siemian, Heinicke, and now Daniel Jones. This is not the ultimate NFL trifecta over here. So what I'm saying is, this might be crazy, but I'm going to show a little more faith in my corners, even though they're backup corners. Show a little faith. Stop the play 10 yards off the guy. It's not like they're getting beat left and right deep. So, with an enhanced pass rush, which has been a little up and down, but it was pretty good yesterday. 5 sacks and some near misses. Lee, I want to tighten up the coverage. I'm sorry. I don't like the loose coverage. 26 out of 32. It just sticks in my craw over there, Lee. Craw, yes. Make things hard for Daniel Jones. Don't make things easy for Daniel Jones. And I want to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of my coverage. I'm tired of these completions all over the field. Easy completions. That was the phrase that came to my mind yesterday, Lee. That's too easy. At least contest it. You got to contest it. And I'm not seeing it.
Well, maybe that's what these opposing receivers are thinking when they go on the field and they're facing the D. Delaney's of the world. This is too easy. Here's what's freaking me out. I read Steve's article, and Steve's mentioned it already. The Giants are dogs with fleas. They should get rolled, and you're saying, hey, Heinicke, Siemian, Daniel Jones, this isn't Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes. Oh, yeah, you could say the same thing about the Redskins, too, couldn't you? Look what happened. And, oh, by the way, the Bucs have played Daniel Jones the last 2 years. Daniel Jones didn't have much problem with the Bucs defense both times, and they were healthy. And you could say, well, they got a read on him now. They played him before. They'll get him his time. You could say the same thing about Taylor Heinicke. They played him already. He almost embarrassed him in the playoffs. You would have thought, if anything, they'd be motivated to shut him down again or shut him down this time. Nope. So the way the Bucs are playing and the history, recent history, actually, very recent, the last 2 games, if the Bucs play a lousy team, they suddenly turn that lousy team into a good team. And given Daniel Jones' history, short though it may be, against the Bucs and Todd Bowles' healthy defense, I don't have a hell of a lot of confidence, guys. I'm sorry. They've got to change my mind. Right now, the Bucs are playing terrible football. Terrible football. Right now. When I say right now, I mean the last 2 games.
Steve, it's worth noting that on the Identity Tampa 2, the great Derek Brooks has been toppled from the unbeaten ranks, Mr. Isbitz. It's the first Buck game that Brooks got wrong all season. He picked them to lose to the Rams. He picked them to lose to the Saints. But, of course, he picked them to beat Washington. Steve, one more point.
Well, let me throw this out there because Daniel Jones last time, maybe I'm missing something, but Daniel Jones last year against the Bucs, he threw 2 picks. He didn't play that great. There was no special, nobody was talking about him as player of the week or anything like that. He sort of had a very average NFL game, except he threw 2 picks, and they had a late drive in hurry up that he played well on, and the Bucs were playing too much of a prevent, and then he didn't get the 2-point conversion, and that was it. I don't know.
Thanks to a questionable call.
Yeah.
Thanks to a questionable call. So, beware. Beware. I'm not dismissing this guy. I've seen what he can do against Bulls defenses.
Does it soothe either of you guys that Trevor Siemian yesterday against the best team in the AFC had a much bigger day than he had against the Bucks? 2 touchdowns, no picks, 300 yards, 19 of 34. Does that soothe you guys in any way?
Not really.
No, they were losing the whole game, Steve. They were losing the whole game. I think they scored didn't they score right at the end? Well, they must have missed a two-pointer, Steve. Did they miss a two-pointer?
They lost by 2 points, all right? It's a close game.
It does not soothe me about Trevor Siemian, nor should it soothe Mr. DeKemper. Look, the Bucs 4-0 at home. That's a fact. They're 4-0 at home. This game is not in the Meadowlands. Steve, I want to make one more point about the Saints game, and I can't emphasize this enough. Lee, just think about this. The Saints were 4-2 going into that game. They should have lost that game. The Bucs beat themselves. Bucs beating Bucs. Mm-hmm. They should have been 4-3. They lost last week. They lost yesterday. They'd be 4-5, and the Bucs would be 7-2, and the Saints would be done. Saints would be happy. But no, that doesn't happen. That loss was a really bad one, followed up by maybe an even worse one. And, look at Atlanta. You can't figure out Atlanta, Lee. They got killed yesterday, absolutely murdered, when you thought they had a little bit of momentum. The offense was terrible. Ryan did nothing. Atlanta's Atlanta, Lee. That's an 8-9 team. This division's ripe for the picking. How the hell can the Carolina Panthers be on the heels of the Tampa Bay Bucks? It's despicable.
I was just going to ask you this real quick about the Falcons. Mike Tanner put out something on Football Outsiders. He was very apropos. Someone asked him something about gambling, and this guy said that he put money on the Falcons. And all uppercase letters, Mike Tanner retweeted, "Never gamble on the Falcons." All of a sudden yesterday, I hear this groundswell that the stinking Panthers are going to make a run to the division title. Cam Newton has risen from the grave, and he's reborn with the stinking Panthers. Then I saw his numbers yesterday. I'm like, what?
Steve, if you're looking for optimism from a Carolina standpoint, there's one thing. McCaffrey had a good game.
Well, it goes beyond that, Ira. They just beat up the Arizona with their backup quarterback. I mean, Newton, they had said Newton won't know the playbook for a little bit, and they'll work him in. I mean, I don't think anybody should be scared of Carolina, but it does speak to that, hey, the good teams, and Arizona's certainly a good team, they lose, and they deal with injuries, and you just got to keep pressing on. I got a wacky question for you, Ira. You ready for this? Either you guys are gonna take me seriously on this, or Lee's gonna start laughing in about 20 seconds here. But first of all, let me remind everybody that Bromosa, the signature top selling beer from Big Storm Beer, is available in Publix all across Florida. Many Publix locations, Central Florida, stretching out. Go to BigStormBrewery.com to find your favorite Big Storm beer and where you can find Big Storm beer. And load up for the holidays. Their Dunder and Blixum Spiced Ale is in, Ira. It's their seasonal. It's good, really strong. It's in the dark blue can. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. Sage, so here's my thought. Now, the Bucks have been bad on the road this year and perfect at home, dominant at home, averaging like 36 points a game at home. And one thing the Bucks do differently on the road than nearly every other team, or perhaps every other team, as far as I know, if you remember, early in the season, Arians implemented these new protocols. He said, screw the league. I don't care. I'm not letting anybody leave the team hotel on a road trip. Normally, players, they get to another city, they get to the hotel, they're allowed to have their family with them. And they're also allowed to usually go out for maybe 3-4 hours, walk around town, or if they have a friend that they played college ball with in town, they can meet up with a friend, and it's a nice experience for a lot of players. Arians, though, before the season said, no chance, COVID lockdown, we'll get to the hotel on Saturday, day before a game, and everybody in their room, and that's it. We're looking for answers for reasons. Do you think these players are getting a little stir crazy or just weird that they're sort of locked in? I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching, but I don't know.
Well, I don't blame you for reaching, Steve, because they're 2-3 on the road. And the last two games have been really bad on the road. So I don't blame you, Stevie. Are the players rebelling? And I don't think you're suggesting that they're rebelling about this draconian protocol. I don't see Arians changing it because he very much has COVID on his mind. And you know what? I salute that. The Bucs haven't had many problems in that regard. And I think Arians is a big part of that success story. Lee, I'm not going there. I mean, they went to Philadelphia and kicked the Eagles' ass for, 40 minutes before letting them get back in the game. I got to look beyond locking down the team hotel, Lee. Something's going on. You said it, Lee. Something's going on. Arians is going to rely on this crack veteran leadership that he's talking about. Well, that veteran leadership better show up on game day next Monday night in front of the cameras. John Lynch is going to be in the house. He's getting his Hall of Fame ring. I believe it's going to be a pregame ceremony at Ray J, so get there early. And maybe the sight of John Lynch will teach some of these defensive backs to play a little tighter on these guys, Lee. I sure hope so, but Steve, you're not crazy, but I'm not going there.
Steve might be onto something, because if you think about it, you know, my first reaction was, oh, wait a minute, they had these lockdowns last year, too. But that was league-wide. That was every team. Perhaps these guys are mentally drained because they're going through so many. You know, I'm assuming. I'm doing a lot of assuming right now. I'm assuming since these guys are locked down in their hotel, they're going through playbooks, they're going through game plans, they're going through meetings, extra meetings, because they're already there. Maybe these guys are mentally drained. Maybe that's why they showed up. You know, like I said, Dave Moore said this yesterday on the broadcast. Arians backed him up later in the press conferences. Dave Moore said the body language thought they already had game one when they showed up. They were lackadaisical walking around the field pregame. Like, okay, we're here. Let's get it over with. Let's go back home with a W. Need a W. And Moore said his fears were realized very early on because they were playing so sloppy. And then Arians confirmed Moore's thoughts in just today and yesterday at the postgame press conference. So, Steve, maybe you're on to something. That's a good thinking. I never thought of that before. I wonder how many other teams, if there are any other teams, that are still under the 2020 lockdown like Arians is with road games. And by the way, Ira, you brought up the Thursday game. I don't know if that applies. That's a Thursday game. Whereas, you know, Sunday games, the players had Saturday with their families. Or they go to a bar and watch college games with their buddies or their teammates. Or they could prowl around town or whatever. It's a Saturday. It's a weekend. Maybe there's something to it.
Steve, I would suggest this too, and I think you got to acknowledge it. Suppose Arians had lifted the restrictions the last couple of weeks, and players were free to go about, you know, after the meeting on Saturday, you can go out, blah, blah, blah. You know what we'd be saying right now? They're not on football. They're out walking Bourbon Street. That's what we would be saying. So we can't have it both ways, Steve. I hope they're going over game plans. I hope their mind's on football. But you keep quoting Dave Moore, and I don't think you're wrong. He picks up on a lot of subtle things, Dave Moore. He's good at it. And for him to talk about body language before the game even starts, that's disconcerting, Stephen.
I'll give Dave Moore a little plug. He's been my insurance man for the last 4 years, does a hell of a job, has a hell of a company, more resources insurance down in St. Petersburg. I'll say his service almost rivals what you get at Bill Curry Ford and Florida's Elite Restoration. It's in that class for sure. Ira, before we get out of here, a couple of things to mention. First, everybody can subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the spots. We appreciate all the love. But I watched the game again, and with a real eye toward, and I always watch with an eye toward loafing, toward effort, especially since Arians mentioned it. And I usually can find a few good loafs. However, I didn't find any loafing in this game. I didn't find anything that looked sort of off. Now, maybe collectively, the energy wasn't there. And I will say the offensive line didn't have its usual fire, but I didn't think they played a bad game except for Marpet, but they didn't really have their usual fire. And I don't think we even had in this game any Ryan Jensen moments, you know, when he's cleaning up the pile and you know, breaking somebody's face and all this kind of stuff. We didn't really have those, and I thought collectively they looked a little less energetic than others, but I don't think there was any loafing. So I don't know. You think Arians is has people in mind, or he's just talking about the general team itself and maybe things that he's seeing that we wouldn't notice?
I think he probably meant that they didn't play with much physicality. And I think in that respect, rather than loafing, Steve, I think that's a fair comment. I thought Washington was more physical. Their running backs gained extra yardage. Their receivers gained extra yardage. The Buck receivers did not. Fournette really was stopped in his tracks. I just thought Washington was the more physical team. He said energy. He said passion. I think that's what he means. I'm glad he corrected that thing about Brady's first pick, which wasn't really a pick. I'm glad he mentioned that. Steve, the only highlight that I had yesterday watching that garbage was when two fans approached the table at Big Storm with Lee and my wife sitting there. They took out a manila envelope. They took out two pictures, both of them of the Sage, and asked me to autograph it. They're huge fans of the website, the podcast. So I want to salute those two gentlemen right now on that podcast. Lee, that was a hell of a moment.
Taylor and Tyler are their names. That was really cool of them to show up at Ira's table. And I bought them a couple of beers for being longtime readers. They said they go back to the Raheem Morris era. They were reading us back when Raheem was around.
Whoa.
So I really appreciate their dedication to Joe Bucks fan, as I do all fans. And so I bought them each a Bermosa. They were happy.
Lee, when the final gun sounded and my wife and I paid the bill, generous tip, and got the hell out of there, and we got to the parking lot, there's Taylor and Tyler right behind us, trudging out, and we looked at each other, shook our heads, and just said, that's awful. And that's all we said. That's awful.
That's all we needed to be said.
Well, we need Tom Brady to fix this thing. He's still, after all these weeks, Bucks are 6-3. He's still the least sacked starting quarterback. Still leads the league in touchdown passes, even though Patrick Mahomes is making a comeback. Still has all these numbers. We need him now because we got to have him overcome these cornerbacks. I mean, we're going. It's probably going to be Pierre Desir on the fragrant one next day. So that's challenging.
Steve, and Brady, we trust until we don't, and we're certainly not there. Unless he's hurt, Steve. So that is the X factor, Steve. You brought it up today. Very sharp. And that might be something that we're hearing about more of as the week progresses. I hope there's nothing to it, gentlemen.
I hope not. All right. In Sage, we trust. And I'm not trying to spread Brady rumors, but when he didn't throw that Hail Mary, it was just beyond odd. Especially, it's not like they were leading in the game. So we'll leave it at that. Sage will be back for episode 2. On the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. We're out.